Hey, everybody. On this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we're going to be breaking down all this weekend's box office, including Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, just blowing away the competition. We'll get to that and more next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Of course, this is the show where we look back at the box office for the weekend that was, and then we like to...
I'm just going to delay it every time, because people are watching, like, come on, if they actually know what it is. Prognosticate.
Oh, look at that. You know. About the box office this coming week. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. And I'll post photos later. You cannot see it all because my headphones and the camera's way too far away. But I have Groot and Rocket earrings on. And I got my Guardians of the Galaxy t-shirt. So, you know, I was trying to prep for today. And the other quick little shout out to Espionage Cosmetics. I'm wearing killer nail wraps and it's like blood. I felt it was appropriate for my American Gods show, which is after this. So if you guys are up late.
Oh, you'll be able to check that out.
Or if you want to watch it later, because you're not watching this live.
Well, there you go. And you know what? If you, in fact, that's a great segue, folks, because you know what you can do? You can like us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And more importantly, give it a thumbs up. Because I know I don't say that enough for Carrie Lane's
liking. I was like, you keep forgetting thumbs up on the YouTube video.
Got thumbs up those YouTube videos. But you can also, even if you're not joining us live, you can comment down below underneath this video. Right down underneath us. Right there as you're looking at it. And feel free, everybody, hop in the chat. Share your thoughts about the box office, anything you've been seeing, or anything that we're going to be talking about on this particular episode. And, of course, we wouldn't be doing all of this, though, without probably the most important person here, Neil Plumley.
I wouldn't say the most important.
I would.
But.
You're up there.
I'll take any accolades I can get, Frank. Thank you very much. You can find me on Twitter at the Neil Plumley, TheNeilPlumley.
Because we love you. That's right. All right, so ladies,
just so much enthusiasm with the,
that's right,
the name.
Yeah. I loved it. We'll jump right into the top five because I know we've all seen this film, and I'm sure many of you've seen it as well, given how much money he pulled into the box office.
Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 from Disney, $145 million.
Yeah, we aimed real low, but we knew that. We were like,
yeah, it did incredibly. Now, we've all seen it, so.
Yes.
Carrie, we'll start with you. Your thoughts.
I enjoyed it a lot. I don't know if I know... I might almost say I like it better than the first one, if only because the first one was hyped too much by the time I saw it that I thought it was okay and not amazing, because everyone's like, freaking out about it. And I was like, no, I liked it. But this one, I just felt it was very fun. I did hear the argument that there's not really a clear bad guy the same way the first one has. There's not like that... you know, hardcore villain that they gotta fight the same way. But that's not, I didn't really care about that at all. And then also, anytime you have any sequel, you almost like it better because you already know the group. Yeah. And it just builds upon, like, oh yeah, it's all my buddies back together, and baby group for the win. Oh my gosh, it's so cute.
That's true. Neil, what did you think?
I thought along the same lines as Carrie. Now, I didn't quite like the first one quite as much as everyone else did. I felt like maybe it just was overhyped before I saw it in theaters, and I was sort of let down by that. But this one, I saw it opening night, so I didn't have anyone telling me how good or bad it was, which was a great decision because I was able to form my own opinion on the matter. But I thought it was good. I thought, I think it's interesting how James Gunn can really take a lot of characters and even add a few more and give everyone their own arc. Mm-hmm. Now, it might not be as big or as small as, you know, other arcs in the movie, but each character was able to have their own small or decently large arc in the film, and I thought that was fantastic. And I really like how Sean Gunn had a little bit more of a character development in this movie. He was he played Yondu's, I guess you would say, it was Yondu's lieutenant in the Ravagers, the one who helped Groot get the materials they needed to break out near the end. I like how he had a little. He had even he had a little bit of a thing.
I liked his character too. Yeah. Excellent explanation about the characters. I definitely agree.
Yeah. So I think the.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Movie's, you know, very good. It's definitely fun to see in theaters. I saw it in 3D, which worked.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't distract. It sort of Avatar did the Avatar thing where it just gave you some depth, which was nice. And some of the battle sequences, that actually was really cool because you got to see how far away and or how close different things were, which was nice.
Gotcha.
But overall, I'd give it an A.
Oh, look at you.
Serenity in the chat, throwing some shade. The first Guardians was great. The sequel sucked. Ouch. I wouldn't say it sucked. Absolutely not. I mean, some people might not like it as much, but it's a little different of vibe.
No, it's, and I agree with what you're saying, too. It's nice. I think I tend to gravitate more towards the second film in the series because the origin stories, I feel like, all right, great. I'm just watching this film to see how they put the band together.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see the band already being on tour, seeing what they get into.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like what they did with Michael Rooker's character, too. I was not a... Yeah, it was fine in the first movie, but boy, they really made me like where they took him in this film.
Yeah, a lot of characters had more interesting arcs. Kind of, yeah, Neil, exactly what you're saying too. Of it was cool to see where they went, the decisions they made, and everything. And because, yeah, again, it builds on what we already know, so we don't need that exposition really anymore. And even with new characters, I felt they were able to give them interesting parts without necessarily wasting time on, like, who is this person?
Yeah, I thought Mantis, I thought she was a good addition.
Oh, she's very fun, yeah.
I thought she worked in really well. And let's all just take a moment to acknowledge the awesomeness of Kurt Russell's hair.
Oh, that feathered hair of the 70s, the 80s.
Loved it.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
That was pretty impressive hair.
I saw an interview with him where he said, unlike... like with Robert Downey Jr. and Michael Douglas when they're doing the de-aging techniques that they did for their films, they used less on him because the makeup artist that he's worked with, like 24 years.
Oh,
so really knows, like,
I thought it looked not fake, which was nice because I wondered that. As soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, I really hope they're not doing anything.
Yeah, so they said they used very little. They used, most of it was achieved by makeup.
Nice.
So, yeah, he said as he got the makeup done and he got the hair all done.
Yeah. Don't worry, guys. We're not saying spoilers. I mean, you get to see him in the past.
Oh, yes.
But not really. That's not a spoiler.
No, trust me.
And he has very beautiful feathered hair.
Oh, it's luxurious. I mean, Kurt Russell's
that must be a wig.
That's true.
But his regular hair that he has most of the movies has a nice full head of hair.
He always rocks the sweet hair, man. I've always been a fan of Kurt Russell's always great to watch, but just the hair alone is always worth checking out.
Interesting. Hugh in the chat says, the first one is more like Star Wars. The second one is more like Star Trek. I would like you to elaborate, but I think that's an interesting comparison.
Interesting.
I thought the second one is more fun, in a way. Like, more just entertaining, rather... I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I felt like... Man, they both had those moments, those little emotional moments that get you.
Oh, yeah.
In both of them. Man. And I felt like, even like things with the music selection, I felt like... Both,
good songs.
From both films, soundtrack is good. This felt it was a little bit more, almost like a little bit more sophisticated in the way they kind of paired it out with certain scenes in the film, the music choices that they made.
Now let me elaborate a little bit on that thought there, Frank.
Please do, Neil.
I know I have a like a 2-degree connection to the composer Tyler Bates.
Oh, nice.
And he it's someone I know personally who knows him. And he was talking to me about, like, all the processes and stuff that Tyler was telling him throughout, like, the production of this movie.
Mm.
And one of the thing was there's something very lacking from MCU movies, and that is a recognizable soundtrack or even a hero theme for its characters. Now, if you look back on, like, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, you can pick out that theme and you can, like, hum it to yourself and you sort of get, like, an emotional response when it comes up in the opening credits and everything. And that doesn't happen in modern Marvel movies. And in fact, it hasn't really happened in the MCU unless you count some of the uses of the Avengers theme and only the Avengers movies or the Captain America theme, which primarily were just happening in the first two Captain America movies. And this one, I really, really dug how there was a recognizable theme. Maybe not recognizable enough so that you can hum it after you see the movie, but they stuck to a theme for the characters when they're in, like, their hero moments. And I really liked that. And I thought that was... I definitely think that's where we need to go. There's a whole... there's a YouTube channel I watch called Every Frame of Painting, and they did a whole dissection on Marvel movies and how their soundtracks are terrible because they're just flat and they don't really give you an emotional. They do the Disney thing and they play it safe. But I like how this one took a little bit more risk than usual, and I think it paid off because the soundtrack I thought was fantastic.
I like how, absolutely agree. The good music in this one too. Albie in the chat said that the first one is more plot driven. The second one's more character driven, That's what I want to see. I want the character interactions.
No, very true.
Cause it's how they interact with the plot that I think makes it more interesting.
There in Ken Jack in the chat says the de-aging effects for him were so far, were the best by far in any of the Marvel movies. So, I would agree with that for sure. Even though it's brief, but it's still, man, well, just because you know that it was just Kurt Russell with some makeup on. That's amazing to think what you can do with his age, but still knock him back, decades just with the right, the way you apply the right, correct makeup.
A lighting probably helps too.
Yeah. Because I know in the interview you said like if they even pushed the lighting a bit farther, they could have probably knocked even several more years off him if they wanted to. Yeah, and I know some people were talking about there's been talk about Adam Warlock. James Gunn has talked about it possibly coming up in the next Guardian of the Galaxy film, and a lot of people have seemed to be talking about Matthew McConaughey.
Quick note: I don't know why, but during my I saw it today. As soon as the first post-credit scene starts, it's going. There is a scene happening. People are like getting up and walking away, and I'm like, what? Yeah. So guys, stay all the way to the end because they have a few scenes throughout the credits / the credits are animated. So I don't know why anybody would ever leave, especially on any Marvel movie now. You're like, what? No.
Yeah.
What? Ah.
I mean, at the very least, just Google up a film that you're going to be checking out, especially for a big summer film. And they'll let you know. They won't tell you what they are, but they'll let you know if there's end credit scenes.
Okay.
So just so you know if it's worth staying, because why walk out of that and then just be like, and then
because people maybe go like, oh, I'm gonna look it up later, but you're already there.
Yes.
2 seconds. Sit there, check stuff on your phone if you really don't want to like get up and leave yet.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
You're missing all the good stuff because then you have to have the conversation with friends like, oh, what? There was stuff after the okay. And you don't want to be that guy. That's that person that's like, hey, dum-dum, why don't you just sit there?
Or even if you guys notice in the credits, they have a moment. It's not spoilers. They have, like, moments where it's the names, and it says, I am Groot, and it switches to what it is. And that was really cute. They had that throughout.
That was a nice that little touch.
Fun. Yeah.
Man, so I think all of us agree, well worth seeing, though,
in the theaters. Oh, yeah. It's just such a fun ride that I think it would be more fun to see in theaters than to watch on video later or something.
Yeah. I'll be very curious to see how it's going to be, because the next appearance is going to be in the Avengers film, Infinity War. So it'll be curious to see how they are in a film that James Gunn, I'm sure, has some input in terms of how they're being presented, but the Russo brothers are going to be directing this. So curious to see how, which I think is the kind of the fun thing of, like, if you think about comic books, when other creators take other different characters and you get to see their interpretation of them.
Yep.
So it'd be kind of cool to see what happens there.
One more bit of trivia. Bear with me. This is also one of the first MCU movies to switch from using an Arri Alexa cinema camera to using one of the Red cameras. And with the Alexa cameras, the image was very flat and not that colorful. And I could, I'm sure you guys could too, tell that this movie was much more vibrant than other MCU movies you've seen in recent history. And it's because of this camera switch that all MCU movies are going to start making.
Oh, I love the saturated colors. And there's some specific color things that happen later in the movie that love the saturated colors. Actually, even at the very beginning, there's like something they're fighting and it has bright colors. And I like that, too.
The way the opening credits are presented.
Oh, that was so fun, too.
It's just a fun way of approaching all that and kind of circumventing audience expectations. What they're going to think.
I like that. It was a fun... Again, if you guys haven't noticed, we've all said the word fun a lot. So if you want a fun time, this is a good movie.
That is the one for you.
Yeah.
Coming in number two at the box office this week, The Fate of the Furious, from Universal. Another a steep drop from our 145 down to $8.5 million.
Such a gap from number one to number two.
Don't worry, folks. That still pushes them, at least domestically, to $207 million. So,
you know.
I think they're doing okay. Number three, the Boss Baby from Fox, another $6.1 million. Four, How to Be a Latin Lover, holding strong with another $5.2 million. Carrie?
Yeah, no, haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, you know. Right, just checking.
I was going to say it's cheaper on Tuesdays, but I have work on Tuesdays, so maybe I'll have to wait a little bit.
Carrie. You know. How are you going to learn how to be a Latin
lover? Wait till that one's free.
Oh, boo. And rounding it out, number five, Beauty and the Beast. Another $4.9 million there. Now, speaking of other films there, and as always, we don't want to do any spoilers, but I got a chance to see Alien Covenant
nice.
This past Friday. Yeah. It was. It's okay. It's okay.
I think I was annoyed enough with the last one with Prometheus that this one I'm like I'm.
Well, Neil and I were talking a little bit about this. Is that I feel like Prometheus, the film frustrates me, but it's so beautifully shot that it is fun to go back and watch how things are shot. The characters and the way they act infuriates me at certain points.
Right.
But just the look of the film is phenomenal. And I feel like this one, the film looks phenomenal. The characters are less irritatingly frustrating with their plot choices. Certainly, it's supposed to be now that they've branded from Prometheus to Aliens, you know, you're going to see a lot more Xenomorphs, which I feel like people were wanting to see.
Mm.
So, yeah.
How dumb and frustrating are the characters?
You know, I'll say Danny McBride's excellent.
Okay.
That he's great.
That's my problem with Prometheus. With so many moments, you're just like, well, that was stupid. Well, that was dumb. No, don't do that. Oh, you did it.
Yes.
Don't. No. Because it's fine if bad stuff happens, even though you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But if you're just doing constantly dumb stuff, you just, as a viewer, you're like, I don't care. I don't care what happens to you now.
No, I know. And I felt like, Charlize Theron's character was just so underwritten. And then the way that she ends it in the film, just like, this is ridiculous. This was it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. okay.
So bad.
Yeah.
And you know, for some reason, you know, James Franco is in this film for a hot second.
Do you agree
second.
With Alvin's comment?
Alvin there in the chat. Alien Covenant looks like Force Awakens, a rehash of the original Alien. It's not quite as good. Clearly not as good as the original Alien.
Yeah.
It's not quite a rehash. It's basically like if you combined some elements of Alien and elements of Prometheus, and you kind of put them together. I don't necessarily know if that's a great combination.
Starfire, I like that. The Prometheus school of running away from things.
Yeah, just run in a straight line and let it roll right over you.
Oh my gosh, it drives me nuts if anything when someone's running away. I'm like, guess what? If you ran to the side.
Yes.
It's like even Indiana Jones, like when the ball's rolling down the hill, I'm like, if you just went to the... Okay.
No, it's so frustrating. So,
yeah.
Again, a lovely film. James Franco, if you don't like James Franco... You don't have to worry. He's on the film for very long.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, blink and you miss him. But it's one of those that makes me feel like, why did James Franco want to be in this film?
Because he wants to be in an Alien movie?
I guess. Because sure.
Danny McBride's in the film.
Yeah, I guess. And I was like, it was cool to see Danny McBride in this type of war. He's not like the, East Out of Bound character.
Mm-hmm. You know? Not comedic, yeah.
No, but he was still really good.
Alvin, Prometheus offends me as a scientist. I'm not a scientist, but there are there are procedures that I know from certain random job stuff I've done that I'm like,
I watch a film, there were moments where I was just thinking of Carrie Lane, because she gets really irritated at Prometheus, where they take off their helmets. There are moments where people take off their, you know, don't even bother putting on helmets, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
All I'll say as we move on is that I feel like at the end of Prometheus, it sets up what you think the sequel is going to be about.
Okay.
And this film, it's frustrating because it does not deliver on what you'd hope to see.
Okay.
From what they kind of promise is going to happen at the end of Prometheus. So.
Sean Bowman in the chat, but all you fans wanted a rehash of Alien, don't complain out. I never wanted a rehash of that. Who wanted a rehash of Alien? Too many things. You're like, it was good before. Why do we need to remake it?
And the first thing about this is that there are all these articles that came out that Ridley Scott has at least three, maybe more films mm-hmm. they could do after this one. And then you've got Neil Blomkamp. His Aliens, like his version of Aliens 3, mm-hmm. is now pretty much like off the table now, which is disappointing. I'd rather see that film. Mm-hmm. Then I'd rather see Ridley Scott do another prequel. I don't need to see a prequel of how these aliens came to be. Let me just see another alternative take on Aliens yeah. 3 with Ripley and Hicks and see what happens mm-hmm. there. Things that we sadly, well, we'll see. We'll see. When this film comes out, maybe that might change. People might really all of a sudden get back on the Neil train, which I would readily hope. Because mm-hmm. I don't even think, like, even if Ridley Scott wanted to do more films set in the prequel, I don't know why that for kind of rules out Neil doing his film, like an Alien 3.
Mm. Possibly, yeah.
I'd rather see that. Anyway, so that was our hot Alien Covenant talk, folks. We'll talk about more about that in a couple weeks as it comes out May 19th.
I think referring back to Guardians, IG, I think it's Christian Dash. I want Sylvester Stallone's group to get their own movie. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
What was the Guardians Galaxy opening? I missed it. What? Come on.
In terms of the money, it was $145 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant like the opening scene. I'm like, wait a minute. Whoa. Opening.
I'm going to guess that, Teddy. If I'm incorrect, please feel free to correct me in the chat. But I'll just say it was $145 million there. What I liked is certainly Sylvester Stallone plays Starhawk, and his character, at least the costume in the comics, very out there. But I still like in the comics is yes. Starhawk's costume very out there.
Oh, uh-huh.
But the way they kind of just at least gave it some little subtle nods to it, I thought it was a nice kind of practical
sure. application. Well, there's plenty of costumes that have changed for some superhero movies because they're like, it looks almost comedic now, like. Even just with the Avengers, like, this is what they look like in the comics. But it's just, like, it doesn't quite translate today, but at least kind of try to.
Because even if you watch back the original Avengers mm-hmm. and then now, like, Captain America Civil War, the costume is so much better constructed now. Like, mm-hmm. Going back to watching that first Avengers film and seeing his costume as Captain America, you're like, ugh.
Alvin, comic costumes being ridiculous over the top, say it isn't so. I know, right? If someone actually made costumes for characters to be functional and not just like flashy, what? They're not part of Vegas. Come on now.
It's gotta be, you gotta form over function.
Yes.
Right? No, or function over form? Who knows? Yeah. One of those two. Which is the right one? You want form over function? No, you want function over form.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you want to have you want to be able to carry out your cool weapons.
Well, even like I notice one of those random little things you notice. Gamora's shoes, she has wedges, so she's not on flat shoes. She has like a heel essentially, but it's a wedge, so it's not like a point. Hmm. And it's a weird cutout thing, which was like I'm like, well, that's kind of cool, but I'm like that simply is to make her taller. There's no function in that for like a fighting or doing anything, and no, that wouldn't be like, oh, I'm taller, I could do no, because it's like you're up on your toes, so you can't actually like flex and move your feet enough to like jump or do stuff, but better compared to flats. But I just thought it was an interesting style choice to make her a little taller with that.
I think though that if you're taller, it's easier for you to wield a sword, right?
It wouldn't make a difference. It's just the scenes where she's next to Star-Lord, and then you're like, oh, you're like, you know, 3 inches taller because you're up on your toes.
I did like the scene of her holding up that big, huge gun and just
yes,
just so hoisting fun. It on her shoulder. Look at her go.
Yes.
All right. So hopping over to our international numbers. Of course, we've been talking about Disney's Guardians of the Galaxy mm-hmm. Volume 2. Basically, it took root in three more key offshore markets for its second week, rocking out another $123.8 million in 55 total markets. This mm-hmm. takes the intergalactic total the international total to $282.6 million and $427.6 million globally.
Sorry, still talking about shoes, but they are important. Alvin says, I noticed Gamora's ridiculous shoes. Adelia, well, it would hurt more if she kicked you. No, it wouldn't make a difference because if she's hitting, no. Because if it's the front of the foot, side of the foot, that's exactly the same. And if it's the flat of the foot, it doesn't matter. If it was a point, that'd be a totally different thing. And then Alvin brings up, yes, almost as bad as Jurassic World running in high heels. No, not quite so bad, but almost. Actually, Atomic Blonde trailer, she has some high heels in that where I was like, at least she does use her heel as a weapon, which was cool, which they do in Red Eye, which I loved, because you're like, finally, someone uses a stiletto as a weapon, because come on, it's pretty much a dagger.
Yeah.
If you used it right, but you've seen the trailer for Atomic Blonde.
Yes. I have.
I know we haven't quite gone to their trailer section, but I was like, oh, that one looks so good.
It does. I'm excited about that.
And that's an excellent use of music. Speaking of music for Guardians of the Galaxy, Atomic Blonde trailer, I love how they blend the songs into each other and very seamlessly.
Guardians of the Galaxy has basically, it opened up in China, Korea, and Russia, and it scored a $48 million launch that tops the original by 75% for the fourth best Marvel Cinematic Universe debut ever in the Middle Kingdom market. Word of mouth is very strong in the James Gunn film, which has an 8.4 rating on Douban. Basically, as it heads to $300 million internationally and $500 million worldwide in the next few days, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 has had the added distinction of pushing the Marvel Cinematic Universe over $11 billion. Woo. That covers combined global grosses from the 15 films since 2008. And the Guardians of the Two knockout, plus the gorgeous Beauty and the Beast, which is closing in on $700 million overseas, has taken the Walt Disney Studios crossing $2 billion this weekend with $2.257 billion. Yikes.
Just a little bit of pocket change.
Yeah, I guess they're doing okay.
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, and that's not even counting. I mean, imagine when Force Awakens comes out. Or, The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
That's... I did like... at your screening of Guardians of the Galaxy, did they have a trailer for the ride at Disneyland?
For...
The Guardians of the Galaxy?
No.
Okay, mine did.
Oh, yeah?
They had a... I don't know if it was actually during the trailers or if it was beforehand, but there's a fun little trailer for the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride at California Adventure.
Oh, interesting.
It's like Rocket, like, hey, guys, my buddies have been captured. I need your help to get them out. And then, like, da-da, new ride coming May 27th.
Oh, are you going to be going to check it out?
I don't know if I go the first day. It'd be too long a line. But I do have a SoCal Disney Pass, so I should be going.
All right. Well, yes. Okay, follow Carrie Lane on
Right. Oh, Instagram. We'll do box office from Disneyland.
If we
there
must.
There we go.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's be perfect.
Yeah, it's, you know, we have to. It's a hard work that we do for you folks.
Yeah.
To go ride those rides. It's only... It's
so much work.
It's work purposes only. That's it. No enjoyment derived whatsoever. Elsewhere, Universal's The Fate of the Furious has raced past $950 million on the offshore track. And Japan is also high on the high-octane actioner with $23.1 million after 10 days to outpace all other Fast and Furious movies. And also from Universal and Blumhouse, Jordan Peele's Get Out has crossed $200 million worldwide.
Nice.
So basically, Fast 8, Universal's Furious, Fast and Furious, Fate of the Furious, 8 zoomed past $950 million at the international box office. The weekend is worth an estimated $30.1 million in 66 territories to bring it to $951.2 globally. And that globally, that it's at $1.158 billion, becoming Universal's fourth highest grossing film worldwide behind Jurassic World, $1.67 billion, Furious 7, $1.52 billion, and Minions, $1.16 billion. So, Universal, I mean, again, we've talked about this several weeks. It's the eighth film in a franchise. Incredible numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Any studio would kill to have those kind of numbers for eighth film in a series.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Before we get into talking about next week's films, hot trailer talk for a second.
Yes.
I did see, and I'm sure you saw if you were watching the Guardians film, the extended kind of look at Pirates of the Caribbean.
I don't think it was extended from whatever I had already seen, but go ahead.
Yes. Which I felt like it was more, a better clip than I'd seen before, a little bit more of the action. What did you think?
I think it looks cool. I'm down to see it. I mean, the Pirates universe has gone all kinds of crazy fun, but I'll watch it.
I mean, I felt like the fourth film was kind of,
I know I loved like the first and second, and I think the third I was like, I went and saw them all.
Yeah, I felt like the fourth one was kind of and then this one seems to be setting up at least another trilogy, I would think.
They could, yes.
I mean, I don't know, I guess it could be interesting. I felt like the scenes where you see the dead sharks that they bring to life and attacking them.
That looks funny in the trailer.
Yeah.
I laughed. Yes, Lisa, we'll go to California Adventure and go ride that ride for work purposes. Yes.
Oh, Lisa, that is what a nice sacrifice that you're willing to make.
She saw Guardians of the Galaxy with me earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we liked it.
So she will go with you? Okay, yeah. Fine. Yeah. Look at that.
You can come too, Frank.
Well, yeah, I told her
about our show tonight, and, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's my buddy Frank.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, thanks, Karen. I'm touched to be even thought of. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And let's see, Lampshadia says, since it's 2017 now and they have to make her politically correct, that's not going to happen. Girl power.
So, yeah, because earlier says Wonder Woman, what made Wonder Woman great, popular originally was a girl in a bathing suit being tied up a lot or trying to up villain guys.
Yeah, tying up. Yeah.
It looks awesome in the trailer, so whatever.
Well, her creator was very much into bondage and S&M and things like that.
Well, so. Yeah, Wonder Woman was PG-rated Betty Page fetish pinup. Now she'll just be boring female Batman. Boring. That trailer looks so cool.
You know, yeah, it's tough though because you can make it almost any movie look cool with the trailer. So
this is true. We'll see.
Yeah, you know, you just take.
I want it to do well.
I would love for it to do well. And yeah. I mean, there was a somebody from, I think it was like a theater owner in the UK, reported like, hey, the film's really good. But I also wondered like, well, why are you as a theater owner going to say a film's not great? Because you're keeping people away from your theater.
You know, I think it's interesting though too. Like Wonder Woman has had such the dumbest controversy stuff that pop up that you're like, why? So one of the ones is like, I don't know what she's doing, but there's a moment freeze frame and it's her armpits. That, oh my gosh, her armpits are a different color than the rest of her body because she lays out and tans her armpits, or doesn't rather. And you're just like, why? And so they actually went in digitally and changed that. And you're like, oh my gosh.
That's why? Who's complaining about that?
Stupid internet people.
But why? So what if her?
I don't know. I will say I have definitely laid out though in tan like this to make sure my armpits are. But I was like, why is anybody complain about that? It's normal.
Yeah.
And it's just so like, or today I was talking about it. I brought it up before too. There's a geek chic brand for men called Hero Within, and they have a jean Wonder Woman jacket. And men are like, yeah, that's cool, but why is a dude wearing that jacket? Or I'd wear that, but yeah, that's like too gay. And you're just like, okay, so with that logic, no woman should ever wear a Batman, Superman, you know, any of those male characters, because that's what you're saying. Like, if you just flip what you're saying, you can hear how stupid that sounds. So I just think it's I just want the movie to do well because it's like, you know.
You know, it is frustrating. Even thinking about clothing is that you'll see women get a lot. There's a lot of awesome designs that they get that never get transferred to men's shirt with a lot of cool female characters. I feel, which is
frustrating. They have a Flash hoodie that I thought you would like.
I saw that. Yeah. I did like, but I also feel like, you know, sometimes there's you know, I'm a big fan of Supergirl, Wonder Woman, Batgirl, Captain Marvel, a lot of, Medusa, Invisible Woman. It'd be cool to have, and I see t-shirts for them for women, and I never get to see those characters on men's shirts, and that's frustrating.
Or, you know, similar problem, I see cool boy shirts, and like if they make a girl version, it has glitter and it's pink or something. I'm like,
yes.
Why can't I have the same thing? That's why I've bought some boy shirts before, because I'm like, well, that's, I'd rather that logo.
Yeah.
But it's just dumb.
Sans glitter. Yeah, it's so frustrating.
Not that I have anything against glitter or pink, but like if it's a Star Wars shirt, I don't need it to be, you know, bedazzled. Because it's like that. It's not even cool glitter. It's like bedazzled. And you're like, why?
Very frustrating.
Yes.
So we've got some films, two films in consideration. We're going to be doing it for consideration for the box office bet in a little bit. We'll start throwing it out there right now for your voting pleasure. One is King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
That looks really cool.
Charlie Dunham, Jude Law, directed by Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
And then we've got Snatched with Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer. Carrie Lane, very excited by that. So those two films are going to be in contention for the box office bet. So start chiming away in there. I know Alvin's there in the chat. So Alvin, if you wouldn't mind, I'd be so grateful if you wouldn't mind keeping a track of those. In the meantime, though, we always like to do a look back, a little box office rewind about somebody that's going to be one of the upcoming films this weekend. So I figured, why don't we do a little look back at Goldie Hawn? We've been talking about Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Why don't we look back at his significant other, Goldie Hawn, both getting their stars in the Hollywood Walk of Fame this weekend as well, too. And so her top five films at the box office, coming in at number five was House Sitter with Steve Martin back from Universal back in 1992.
Don't think I saw that one.
Yeah, you know, that's $9.1 million. Then we had number four, The Banger Sisters from Fox back in 2002. Made a little over $10 million.
I don't think I saw
I don't see that one either. Three, I bet you've seen.
Yes.
Death Becomes Her.
Yes.
From Universal, 1992, $12 million. Number two, Bird on a Wire.
Yes, that's an actually excellent
her
one.
Her and Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
There you
that
go.
That one's really funny, really good.
Back in 1990, $15.3 million. And number one, The First Wives Club.
That was actually good, too.
I never saw that one.
It was one of those ones, yeah, I never saw it, like, I saw it more recently, and I was like, I liked it.
Oh, all right. From back in 96, made $18.9 million. In fact, that ended up ultimately grossing $105.4 million for her. So it looks like it's probably her biggest biggest box office total for her films there. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got two films entering the box office right here. So as you're chiming away from the box office bet, we are going to figure out our what next week's top five rundown is going to look like. So, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword from Warner Brothers opening up in over 3,600 screens. Snatched from Fox, a comedy airing in opening in 3,300 screens. How do you think those two are going to fit into our current top five? Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Fate of the Furious, Boss Baby, How to Be a Latin Lover, and Beauty and the Beast. Neil, what do you think? I'm going to go right to Neil.
Oh, I got you, Frank. I already have my list down.
I love it. This is Neil
he's
is
prepared.
A pro.
I like
professional.
It.
I have it down so hard I didn't even need to write it. I got it all in my head.
Committed it right to memory.
Here we go. Guardians again at number one.
Oh yeah.
I don't see Arthur topping it. I see Arthur doing, you know, admirably, but I don't see it topping it. So I'm gonna put Arthur at two.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have what was that one? Snatch? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll put Snatch at three just because everyone else is dropping off pretty hard.
Mm.
And I see it doing better than like eight or nine at least, maybe probably a little bit more than that. So I'll put Snatch at three and then we'll have Fate and probably Boss Baby.
Ooh, interesting. Now, a question for both you and Carrie as well is you've seen the trailers, the promos for King Arthur.
Yeah.
Are you guys jazzed by it?
Or
you
oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you so jazzed about?
I do like Guy Ritchie movies. I like the highly stylized look of it. I think they're the dryads, the tree people, like even that kind of mythical stuff looks cool. I think it looks cool. I mean, yes, King Arthur's story is very old and told, but I like that actually in the trailer they don't actually say anything about King Arthur. They don't use that word. They didn't even say Excalibur, but clearly from the visuals, you're like, it's King Arthur. But I think that was smart on their part, because then it's not like, oh my gosh, duh, this thing.
Yeah.
And Jude Law's a bad guy, sure.
There you go. Neil, are you excited about it?
I'm entirely unsure about it.
Okay.
I feel like it's got a good director behind it, but from what I've seen, it could either end up being Clash of the Titans, or it could be a darker, slightly more fantastical sort of a Knight's Tale sort of a movie, like sort of like genre clashing medieval rock opera thing going on. So it could go either way for me. I am interested to see it because I'm curious.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not sure. At this point, I don't know if it's going to be good or not.
I missed who said it in the chat, but someone made a good point that Snatch might get a bump for Mother's Day weekend.
Interesting. That's true. That is very true. And I saw Barry O'Mac mention there that he has got a chance to already see King Arthur and that he would see it again.
Nice.
So, I don't know.
You know what, Neil? I agree with you. That's my list. I was like, yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that list. That's how
we're all like, yep, that's pretty much
It kind of seems like that's the way it's going to go this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Guys, I feel like How to Be a Latin Lover is going to have a resurgence. It's heading right to number one. Wow, guys.
Hey, you know, it could.
Yeah, you guys didn't take that seriously.
Right, Starfighter, someone explain to me why King Arthur has colossal elephants taller than the elephants in Return of the King.
Those elephants are huge.
Well, I want to say it's kind of they're going maybe in a like hyper stylized, maybe not as much, but similar in the realm of 300, that there'll be things that aren't regular at all.
Yeah.
And there's clearly magic involved, so I don't think things are going to be super grounded in reality.
Yeah, Starfire. I think it's just going to be just a fantastical element. I think there's going to be a lot more fantastical elements than that. Like, there's in the trailer, you see like a weird underwater mermaid person. You see those...
Lady of the Lake.
Yeah, you see those druid things in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
I think the elephants are just the biggest fantastical thing that we've seen in the trailer. But there's also going to be imagery because we see a hawk. Is it a hawk with a snake in its talons that flies in the trailer? Isn't that some sort of like a legendary...
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Like some sort of a myth or something? I forget, but... I feel like there's going to be a lot of mythological imagery in there as well.
Could be.
Well, this is all based on a true story, so.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then adapted from a novel.
Yeah.
By Sapphire.
Somebody mentioned earlier that there's something related to, for SAO fans, so Sword Art Online fans. Is
Sons of Anarchy.
Oh.
Sorry.
See, there's another one. I was like... What?
Oh,
what?
That's the other thing. Yeah, it's, what's his name? Charlie Hunnam?
I call Charlie Dunham, yeah.
I call him Thumb Pockets.
Yeah.
Because that's how he walks around in every movie. And he might not have pockets in this movie, but his thumbs are definitely going to be tucked into his belt. For sure. That's a promise. 100% movie prediction guaranteed.
All right.
Okay.
You heard it from Neil. All right, ladies and gentlemen, looks like we're getting ready to do the box office bet. And it looks like, from the way the chat's going, it looks like King Arthur. Yeah, so we are doing King Arthur.
And we all say it's number two. So this is actually kind of interesting, though, because we all say it's number two, but what does that mean money-wise?
That is very true. So yes, again, from Warner Bros. Pictures, directed by Guy Ritchie. You know, coming hot off of things like Sherlock Holmes. He also did with... Gosh, the Man from U.N.C.L.E. That was his most recent
film. Yes, that was a good one, too.
Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Well, the other thing, too, is it's another kind of action. Michael says, lock, stock, and two smoking swords. I like it. it's another kind of action, but a different kind of action movie. And, yeah, we'll see. I feel, they've done trailers for that one for a while, too. It's another one where they've been kind of planting that, like, hey, this movie's coming out.
I do like Sky Patterson saying, thumb pockets, question mark?
Mm-hmm.
Neil, you're sweeping the Nathan with your thumb pockets there.
It's just watch Charlie Hunnam in anything.
Okay.
His thumbs are in his pockets.
Ooh, Ken Jack says only 25 for King Arthur.
No, higher than that.
Right? Mm-hmm. Barry says, King Arthur is kind of what Assassin's Creed should have been without the beasts and magic, LOL. Alvin says 35. I still think maybe a little more.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a little box office bet. And of course, the way the box office bet works is that we're going to bet on what we think the opening box office total will be for the film that you picked in the chat, which is King Arthur. The one that's closest gets that bragging rights. They are the prognosticator of prognosticators. And the loser will have to go see the film. Tell us all about it.
Oh, I like that. Serena says King Arthur is Rock and Rolla plus Excalibur. I like that. I liked Rock and Rolla. So. Mm. They like your shirt and they're curious what your shirt is. You might need a lean over so you can see the center of it.
Oh, yes. It's.
You need a scoot. Yeah, there you go. No.
Maybe
come.
This way?
Sit up a little bit.
This way?
No.
This way? I don't know. Which way? This way?
Yes, there you go.
There you go. We'll do this.
So it's like a hand inside, bones inside a hand inside Kermit's head.
There you go.
It's very cool and slightly disturbing.
That's right. You're seeing, we're just going deep into the levels of Kermit.
Yes.
Going into the crust, the deep mantle of Kermit the Frog.
Serena says 30 to 40 for King Arthur, but I'm leaning more towards 40.
Well, let's see. I mean, we've got.
Fine.
Imagine, all right, so you got Guardians of the Galaxy 2, 145. Say it had a 50% drop off.
That's still like close to 100.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's still going to give us.
That was horrible 72. Math, I think. I was
72,
like,
72 million. If it has a 50% drop off, we're down at 72 million.
Thank you, Alvin. Man from U.N.C.L.E. was 110 worldwide. Oh, yeah, but that's not worldwide. Snatch was 84, Rock and Roll is 26, Revolver is 6.8. Actually, I liked all of those.
All right.
Okay, I made a guess, but 22. I don't know how close I am.
All right.
I got something.
All right.
Okay. What'd you put?
Hugh
said, thanks, Frank. Right. I'm eating right now. I know, right?
There you go. Just think about this this skeletal hand. All right. All right, Neil, what'd you got?
I'm going to go with a cautious, I think it's cautious, I don't know. A cautious 60 million.
Ooh. Oh! Gary? All right.
I went with 45.
I was about to put 60, but I changed it the last second to 55.
Oh, that's a good spread we got there.
Yes. It's definitely a 45. Yeah, 45, 55, and 60.
Yes.
All right.
Look at that. Oh, man. All right.
I thought mine was cautious. You were cautious at 60. I don't know. Mm. I had actually first thought 70 because someone was saying 70, but then I'm like, yeah, there we go. Serena says everyone's lowballing. What if we're all wrong? It smashes box office to 100 plus. That's true. Thanks, Lisa. King Arthur is going to bring in a lot of different audience. Oh, that went away. Scroll back up. Audience and Richie's other films. Yeah, it does look a little bit different.
All right.
And then epic sword and sandals movies do not do well in the States unless it's Lord of the Rings, I find, said Barry. Okay, that's a good point.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks everybody for sharing your thoughts about the box office this weekend. Yes. And you know what? The fun doesn't stop here. It still continues even after the show's over. So in the meantime, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and most importantly, give those 2 big thumbs up, or just there's one. There's just room for 1 thumb up. But, you know, go ahead and go to other videos of ours and give those thumbs up as well, too. And then if you're watching even after the show's over, be free to comment down in there to chat below. And if you wanted to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Neil, where can they find you, sir?
Everyone can find me on Twitter at, or actually anywhere, at the Neil Plumley, TheNeilPlumley. Have fun.
And you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And then check out Espionage Cosmetics. I have these awesome, these ones are killer with blood, and they have other cool stuff. And just because we care about you guys watching, Justin in the chat, hello, I'm giving you a shout out. Because everybody, I'm like, we care about you guys watching. We appreciate it.
Look at that. Yes, everybody, absolutely. You make the show so much fun to do with you guys in the chat every single week. We cannot stress enough how much we really appreciate all your involvement here. It means a lot. So, folks, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, we'll see you back here next Sunday night with another hot episode of the Box Office Breakdown. Right here. I forgot the name of our show for 1 second. It just blinked out of my head. Right here on Popcorn Talk. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn
Talk. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.